of Proverbs. We'll look at the verses that we started with last week and finished last week's message. How's that? Proverbs chapter 4. And we're looking at verses 20 through 22. Proverbs is believed to be written by King Solomon, son of David. It's in what we call the wisdom literature. And when you get into about the 10th chapter of the book of Proverbs, from there on, just about every verse is a real gem of spiritual truth. And it's just rich in meaning. And in this part of Proverbs, the writer is challenging his son. And as we see the scriptures as God's word to us, we can see it as God challenging us as his sons and daughters to do as he says in verse 20, my son or my daughter, in your case, give attention to my words. Pay attention. Give attention. Make my word a priority in your life. You know, I'm grateful for the fact that I was raised to believe the Bible is the Word of God. I share with you all the time that I'm just a simple guy. I'm not very quick, and I need a lot of help. And in the Bible, I find the help and the direction and the wisdom that I need. And I'm just the kind of guy that just believes the Bible is God's Word. Bottom line, I may not understand it right, may not interpret it all just right, but I believe it is the Word of God. And when I learn to take the scriptures and apply these things to my life and become what the Bible actually calls a doer of the word and not just a hearer, I find that it changes my life. It makes me a different person, and it brings blessing, and it brings peace, and it brings joy and contentment when I do things God's way. And so Solomon says in verse 20, he says, give attention. God says to us, give attention, pay attention to my words. Let my word be the guiding light and source for your life. Incline your ear to my sayings, he says. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep the word of God in front of you continually. And we need to, brother and sister, because if we don't, listen, if we don't keep the word of God in front of us, if we don't keep our focus on the Lord, our focus will very naturally drift to fleshly things, carnal things, wicked things, natural things, things that are not pleasing to God. It's just who we are as human beings. Autopilot for human beings is not righteousness. It's unrighteousness. The Bible says that we're all born with a sinful human nature, that if we don't learn how to control it, if we don't make it submit to God, it will take over and control our lives. And so we are required to make effort in order to continue to walk with the Lord. And one of the things that we need to do is keep the Word of God in front of us. Because listen, we're hearing stuff all the time. We're seeing stuff all the time. And this world is a mess. It just doesn't take you very long. It doesn't take you very long to get very discouraged when you look at the things that are going on in the world, when you see the things that are on the news all the time. All of these things, it's very difficult to have faith, to have hope, and expectation of any good thing happening when you keep your focus on the things of the Lord. I just get stirred up when I watch the news. I get so angry watching the news because the foolishness and the world has just become a delusional place. And things are just nuts. Things that, I'm getting upset now. Things that early in my life you would have never dreamed would have been acceptable in our society. Now they are pushed on us as the norm, and you have to accept it. And if you don't accept it, then you're a bigot and you're the hateful person and you're the, and all of these things, and the world is just upside down. And our heart will just go that way. You know, I follow spiritual news and church news, and to watch over the years denomination after denomination after denomination just abandon biblical morals and principles and accept whatever the world throws out there as right. And the church is just accepting all of this stuff. And it's because we're not keeping the word in front of us. We're not making the word our priority. We're not making God what our life is supposed to be all about. So he says, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my saying. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Father, I pray that you would help us today to become a people who are centered on the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the unchangeable nature of the Son of God and the unchangeableness of the Word of God. And I pray, Father, that we would be surrendered to these things as the people of God, that your way, O Lord, might be manifest in and through us for our good and for your glory's sake. Open our eyes today, Lord, as we look at Scripture and are encouraged in our spiritual journey. And teach us, Father, to live for the glory of the Son of God. I thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen and amen. You know, the Bible is filled with awesome promises of an amazing God, of the things that he wants to do for us as his children, blessings that he wants to give to us. You know, if we were really doing this thing right, the Bible pictures you and I really ought to be blessing magnets, that the blessings of the Lord are just coming upon us regularly because of the grace and the goodness of God and all that he wants to do for us. Let me give you some scripture for that. Deuteronomy chapter 28 tells us that if we're walking with the Lord, that the blessings of God will overtake us. Will overtake us, will run us down. Remember what David said in Psalm 23? He says, first of all, he says that God will prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. How many of you know that the table of the Lord is a banquet table? When God gives, he doesn't give in a chintzy way. When God throws a banquet, listen, when God throws a banquet, he feeds 10,000 people and has leftovers. The Bible teaches us that the feeding of the 5,000, the feeding of the 4,000, thousands of people and leftovers. This is the way that God provides. Mercy and truth follow after us. Psalm 84 verse 11 says this. The Lord God is a strength and shield, and he gives grace and glory. And no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. No good thing, he says. Psalm 34 tells us that those who fear the Lord will not want for anything. David again says in Psalm 23, he says, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And then in eternity I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus says every need of our life will be met if we'll just put him first. Malachi tells us that if we will give to God what belongs to God, that's everything. Did you know that yeah, here's a different way to look at tithing? A lot of people struggle with the whole issue of tithing. I just don't know how I can give 10% of what I receive. Well, don't think of it as giving 10%. Think of it as keeping 90%. Because how many of you understand it's all God's? Okay? When you're giving 10%, you're really not giving anything. You're just returning back to God what's already his, you see. And Malachi tells us that if we will do that, the Bible says that God will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that we can't contain. Jesus tells us in Luke 6 and 38, he says, give and it'll be given back to you again, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will God pour into your bosom. Over and over and over again, the Bible tells us about the way that God wants to lavish His love and His goodness and His grace upon us. Let me read this one for you from the book of 2 Corinthians. And chapter 9 is the passage I want to look at here. Let me just set the stage for you here. In 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul is actually talking about the offerings that he was receiving. When Paul would travel on his missionary journeys, he was always conscious of the poor believers back in Jerusalem. And everywhere he went, he raised an offering to send back to the poor. And he's talking in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9 about the offerings that he's wanting to receive and about the offerings he wants these people to give toward the support of the poor back in Jerusalem. And he says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. He says, "Now I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly." And when he's talking about sowing, he's talking about giving. Okay? He's talking about giving. He says, "He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." How many of you understand God wants us to be givers at heart? Givers at heart, those who freely give because we have freely received from the Lord. God loves a cheerful giver. Look at verse 8. Now, catch this. "And God is able." First of all, God is able to make all grace abound to you. Grace, the unmerited favor, the willingness of God to use His power to do for you what you cannot do for yourself. That's grace. And it says that God is able to make all grace abound toward you. In other words, He wants to give you that power and display that power in abundance in your life. "God is able to make all grace abound to you so that always having all sufficiency in everything." What could get any clearer as to how God wants to bless us so that, please hear this, so that we can be a blessing in the name of the Lord. God teaches blessing, but He never teaches hoarding. Okay? God blesses us so that we can be a blessing. You're one of the biggest givers that I know of personally. The guy that gives probably more money than most of us is a friend of mine. He lives in a trailer on the backside of Liberty Mountain. You wouldn't know he had anything to look at the way he lives. And the reason he lives that way is because God gives him so much and he just gives it away. He just blesses other people. And that's what God wants for you and me. God wants us to be that kind of people who are not looking for what we can get, but rather who are looking for more ways to give and to be a blessing. And notice it says here, God is able to make all grace abound to you so that always, not sometimes, not part of the time, not you're never sure, always having all sufficiency, all sufficiency. Not barely enough, not quite enough, but all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. Again, God wants to lavish His grace upon us. God wants to give to us. God wants to bless us in many, many ways. And while what we're talking about is the grace of God, it's the favor of the Lord, it's obviously something that we can't earn on ourselves. But what we found out last week is that we can actually do things as believers that can hinder God's grace from being given to us in abundant fashion. We looked at a couple of things last week. I want to look at one or two more this week. Last week, we talked about certain attitudes, wrong attitudes of the heart that hinder the grace of God. We call these wrong attitudes heart disease, okay? Heart disease. Solomon says, watch over your heart with all diligence. Be careful about what you put into your heart. Take care of your heart. Be sure it's strong. Be sure it's healthy. We know that in the natural, heart disease is deadly. What the Bible teaches us is that spiritual heart disease is deadly as well. And so we need to guard our heart, our spiritual heart. Watch over our heart and be sure that it's strong and healthy and we're not allowing wrong attitudes into our heart. Two things we looked at last week. One, the first one, we looked at an unbelieving heart. We said that an unbelieving heart is a heart that's diseased. And that unbelief, we looked at several examples last week of how unbelief can rob us of the blessings of the Lord. We talked about an unforgiving heart last week. How unforgiveness, a bitter and unforgiving heart. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15 says that a bitter heart will come short of the grace of God. So if we're harboring bitterness in our heart, if we're harboring unforgiveness in our heart towards somebody else, then we are effectively hindering God's grace in our own lives. Unforgiveness doesn't hurt other people as much as our unforgiveness actually hurts us. And so there are a number of other things that we could talk about, and I'll just share a few of these things with you last week and today, just sort of as food for thought. Let me encourage you to do this. Look at Psalm 139 with me real quickly before we get to the actual message, all right? Toward the end of Psalm 139, look at what David says here at the end of this psalm. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. If you read the book of Jeremiah, you find out that in Jeremiah tells us that our heart is wicked and easily deceived. And that we can actually deceive. In fact, he goes on to say, and who can know his own heart? In other words, we can be deceived in our own heart about the condition of our heart. We can think we're doing pretty good, but then the tests and trials of life come and those things reveal what's ultimately in our heart. And so David calls out to God and he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts and see if there be any hurtful way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. That's a good prayer for you and I to pray. God, show me what's really in my heart. Show me if there's anything in my heart, Lord, that's keeping you from doing in my life what you want to do. God, I admit that it's hard for me to be honest about the condition of my own heart. I need you to show me the truth. Let me know. And I promise you he'll let you know. In fact, all of life, brother and sister, is a heart test. If you haven't figured that out yet by now, just open your eyes. Everything that you're going through is a test of your heart. It's a test of your faith. It's a test of your motive. It's a test of a lot of things. Life is a test of the condition of your heart. This morning, I want to talk about just one more heart disease that actually is one that, to me, could be the granddaddy of them all. In fact, it no doubt, and we'll see some examples of how it gives birth to other forms of spiritual heart disease. The one I want to talk about today is a prideful heart or a proud heart. And I want us to understand that pride is a heart disease that cuts us off from the favor of the Lord. Pride puts self first, puts self in the center of everything. Pride exalts self over everything. Pride says, it's all about me. It's all about what I'm doing. It's all about what I want. I'm the center of the universe and everything revolves around me. That's what pride says. And let me just tell you this morning, if you think maybe you don't have a problem with pride, let me just tell you, you're wrong. I'm just serious. Every one of us have a problem to one degree or another. We all have a problem with pride. In fact, there are some people who believe themselves to be so humble that they're proud of it. We all struggle. Where did the time go already? Let me tell you in one word. I can tell you in one word. I can prove to you in one word that most every one of us have problem with pride. Are you ready for it? Here it comes. Facebook. We think we are so interesting. And we have all of the answers to life's problems that everybody wants to see pictures of us. And everybody wants to hear our opinion. And everybody wants to know what's going on in our life. Because the world revolves around us. The most overused word in the history of humanity is created by this generation because of Facebook. The word is selfie. Self-e. Because it's all about self. Guys, let's just be real honest. The founders of Facebook are all multi-billionaires because of our narcissism. Let's just be honest. Listen, it had to be said, and I have said it. Now, obviously, a lot of that is tongue in cheek. Okay, we get that. We got to get this fixed. A lot of that. Turn this off. Sean, mute that thing back there. Yeah.